Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, depending on your location. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Baker, and this, of course, is the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. Welcome to our show today. We're going to be doing readings, of course, and also talking a little bit about near-death experiences in the astral realm. But first, I want to let the callers that are in the queue know that, of course, we're going to be getting to their calls about 15 minutes into the show. Everybody that is in queue right now is going to get a reading, so please be patient. Don't hang up on us. We are going to be getting to your calls. Ways to stay connected with our show. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also join us on Facebook, on Twitter. You can follow Neil, actually, on Amazon.com. I think, actually, it's following on Twitter, but it's a link on Amazon, so you can follow his books, get samples there. And Neil's number, 562-596-7818, if you want to set something up after the show, because there's not a website to do that. There is a website, but there's no way to book an appointment. So emails you can send to our Facebook, but you're going to end up having to call anyway. So I want to redirect everyone to that phone number again, 562-596-7818, because we do get a lot of inquiries by email, but the details are going to be provided by phone. But anyway, Neil, okay, today we're talking a little bit about near-death experiences. We've touched on this on the show before. Usually we talk about what happens after death in specific cases of death, whether you're transcending the planet, whether you've committed crimes, committed suicide, and are eventually coming back to the planet or stuck in some type of astral realm. But we've really not talked a lot about people that have near-death experiences and then actually come back to tell about their experience. But there was a television show that I was that I happened upon on Saturday night on LNN Network, and they have actually got some good shows. They do a show called Ghost Inside My Child. This one was I Survived, and the topic was near-death experiences. And they were featuring three different people, I think, with different circumstances surrounding their near-death experiences. The woman that they featured had, I guess, received an epidural injected into her bloodstream, so it killed her. And I think she was revived like four or five times on the table, and she kept dying, essentially. But her experience was very interesting, and it was compelling because many of the details of her experiences mirrored a lot of the things that you've told me. I think people, when they hear about a near-death experience, think that when they feel that feeling of or experience the feeling of light or the vision of light and the warmth, because you're not transcending the body, but you've left the body behind and you're moving into the astral realm, that they're actually going to heaven. But what this woman detailed was more an experience about the astral realm. She encountered her dog that had died previously in this area. Of course, she experienced those sensations that we often hear about associated with near-death experiences, and she encountered a dead grandmother whom she had never met, who had committed suicide. And this was what I found particularly interesting. She met the grandmother, recognized her as her grandmother, and she introduced herself as her grandmother. And what the grandmother told her is that she had begged for grace and she was allowed to reside in the astral realm. I mean, they didn't use the term astral realm on the show, but this is what we call it. But that she would indeed be returning to her body to be reincarnated. So this was like her time between lifetimes, that she was allowed to be in a higher realm. I mean, I don't want to say higher realm, but she wasn't an earthbound spirit is what I'm trying to say. And then this woman went through a life review. So it struck me, because very similar to the things that we've talked about regarding what happens with suicides. And, you know, you have said in the past that sometimes there's an amount of grace that's bestowed on someone who commits suicide, but, you know, you're definitely not going to transcend the planet permanently if you commit an act like that. And then briefly, because this is getting to be a lengthy explanation, there was a gentleman on the show who apparently hadn't lived his life in the best way prior to his accident. I guess his legs, he was shot and his legs had to be amputated because gangrene had set in. But he saw a crucifix on the wall, and he said Jesus came toward him, and that Jesus turned into a demon, and there was a big battle between good and evil surrounding him. And he ended up surviving. He, too, had died, like, you know, five times, and they continually tried to revive him. But this experience for him marked a real change in his life, because he experienced those elements of dark and light that we so often discuss on the show. So it was really interesting to me, and related so closely to the things that you've said and how their experiences transpired, Neil. So
yeah, well, a lot of topics you've hit upon there.
Yeah, I was trying to get talking quickly here.
No, it's all pertinent. First of all, we have to assume, you know, a lot of this, people who cross over and they see the light and they're following the light, listen, that a lot of that is the projection of your own astral body putting out light. You know, you're not actually seeing a light in front of you as though the heavens have opened, or you have some kind of pinhole and you're looking into a realm where there's all this blinding light. God forbid we should all go to a realm with a blinding light. Imagine going into a room with a bright light. You want to tone down. It's not that the element that we're going towards is just this blinding light. Oftentimes what happens in our astral body, when we're out of our physical body, our astral body it emits light, it projects light, and so you're actually seeing the light in front of you. It's almost like the headlights of a car or a flashlight. So you're looking, people mistake that sometimes for a region or a geography of some place, albeit some kind of heavenly sphere. It's the projection of the astral realm energy that's coming from the occupants of astral bodies. Now, that's not to say that there aren't regions that are filled with light, because light is energy. So there are regions as such. So I don't want to just be all inclusive and say that every light someone sees on the other side has to do with their astral body projecting a light. There is a combination of energies. And so sometimes when people make the mistake in these TV shows, you know, go towards the light, you know, go. They have these spirits. They tell the spirits that go into a haunted house, move towards the light. The spirit's looking at them like, what are you talking about? You know, what do you mean moved? It's like moving into the lights of a headlight car and thinking you're in another place. It isn't really a realm, but we in our finite minds, we think that's what heaven is. It's this light, and if they can only find it, like in a cave, they can go out. Well, not all the case. Now, that's one thing. The other thing is, oftentimes, yeah, suicides can go into the astral realm and converse with angels and guides and ask for grace during the period between lifetimes on the earth and receive some kind of grace therein. It's almost like someone being in the armed forces and they go on furlong and they
furlong.
You know, my tongue is my worst enemy.
Oh,
I know of what I speak, but I don't always
say it right.
Sound like I do. And so they're giving a kind of a reprise or a recess of some kind. Well, yes, indeed, you can rest for a while in the astral realm, but rest is not. You know, people go, well, they're resting now. They rest in peace. Well, can you imagine if we're just sleeping? This isn't about sleeping. In fact, the biblical scripture says you will be awakened.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be asleep. You will be awakened. So to be alive in the astral realm after death is to be awakened. Now, in that respect, there's a peace, a conscious, well, you don't have the mind, but we're using these words. There's a conscious peace in the astral realm for such people that have committed suicide where they have tranquility and calm and harmony.
Not all, but some.
Not all, no. But in this case that you were speaking of, and I've talked to spirits, souls that have crossed over having committed suicide, and they have often also talked about that they are sometimes find a realm where there is some form of peace between the lifetimes. And that is where the soul gets to be balanced in preparation for coming back. So you're kind of getting washed. You're kind of getting, you're getting a reprieve. You're getting, it's almost like going to a hospital and being cured for a while. It's this essence.
It's like balancing the energies of that soul before
perfect.
They come back into the
yeah.
earth.
It's like putting more energy in, pumping up the spiritual element so that when you go back to the earth, you'll have more of a spiritual awareness so that when you do panic, you don't kill yourself.
Because likely that person, I mean, you know, and then we're getting into the topic of karma, but that person that commits suicide is going to be likely facing some challenges where they're going to need some spirituality because of the suicide that
yeah.
occurred. I mean, it's murder. So, okay.
Well, that takes us to the second point.
Right.
I know we have a restriction on time.
Few minutes.
Here.
Yeah, we've got
but
several callers.
When you've committed suicide and you come back, you'll often go back out into the astral realm during your dream state and experience your suicide again. So a lot of murder. If you've murdered someone and you come back to work out your earthly energies, you'll often have dreams where you're murdering someone or you're being murdered. There's a murder theme in there. The soul gets to leave the body at night and not just trance around and visit ever, you know, astral projection. For me, is a kind of a fun thing because I get to travel all over the place. But oftentimes it's not that fun because I'm a human too and I have to face my own elements of duality and everything like that. But when those of us have committed some great offense in a past life, we oftentimes leave our body, go into the astral realm, and we revisit the event. Because those events are actual the roadblocks that keep us from transcending into, for want of a better word, heaven or a higher realm. When you produce works or acts on the earth that are toxic or evil or murderous, what they do is they get filed into the astral realm, but they're still connected to your body through the silver cord. And when you go out, you're sometimes blocked from certain regions of the astral realm because your actions are sitting there that you haven't resolved yet. So a lot of times when we do experience dreams like, for instance, the guy that had the crucifix and Jesus and he turns
right.
into the devil. Well, he's been battling over the issues of religion and probably Satanism or satanic energies throughout his lifetime.
Probably. And, you know, I didn't catch the beginning of the show, so I don't know his specific story, but I assume that there was probably maybe drinking, maybe drug abuse. He was a construction worker. He seemed to not have a terribly clean life. I know he didn't have a clean marriage because he'd mentioned an ex-wife as well. So.
Well, we tried it.
And
yeah.
When you open up those darker elements, sometimes,
it
you know.
It comes out.
Exactly.
And we try to translate the deeper meaning of what really the astral realm is about in these kind of Dante or Christian elements that here is Satan on one side, here is God on the other, or Jesus on the other, or whoever it may be, whatever prophet it may, you're ascribed to. But here's this big battle going on, and they're each fighting for your soul. So it's like a boxing match. And they're fighting because they each want the human being's soul. It's very valuable to them for some apparent reason. And we tend to think in our literal translation that there's this virtual battle going on. Well, in crude translation, that is part of the process. But the element of spirituality is much broader than that. So the concise meaning of what it is to leave the body and go into the astral realm and be faced with a decision as to whether one's going to transcend off the planet or whether one's going to come back or whether one lived a, quote, godly life or whether one lived an evil life, those are English translations. Those are, I mean, they're earthly translations.
Right. And we're not talking about there being exactly a choice, because it's not really up to the choice, or the choice of the subject that's going into the astral realm. I mean, there's higher forces at work deciding those factors.
Well, in a way, yes, but we have this element that I appreciate very much called free will.
Uh-huh.
So we're given a creative free will on the planet to work out our issues with whatever degree of awareness we have about what it really means to live outside of the body. This brings up, too, the concept that we don't die. We really don't die. We just have a transportation from the physical body into the astral body. So there's really no death. Sleeping is very much like a metaphor. You go to sleep and you're laying in bed and you go to sleep, but you wake up in the morning. Well, when you die, you go to sleep, your physical body goes permanently to sleep, but your astral body wakes up. And then you're in a whole different kind of brightness with a whole different kind of criteria as to what the substance you experienced was on the planet, and that thereby determines exactly how that journey is going to take place on the astral realm. So if you go there and you have transcended all of the earthly issues, you have moved forward into the planet in such a way that you have graduated, you've expanded your consciousness, then thereby you enter the astral realm and you're not really impressed upon to come back onto the earth. However, most of us tend to get caught in the middle somewhere, and for the most part, we do come back until we've realized every part of human existence, including the choice to be autonomous and healthy. So it's just not about the acts we do, but it's how we treat ourselves as a living form. So the intra-energy within our bodies
as well
as
the intra,
yeah, are very important in terms of the issue of transcending off the planet and getting past all of these weird zones of the astral realm where we meet the devil or we can only be there for a year or two and then we have to come back to the planet.
Okay. All right, Neil. Well, we're going to have to turn this over to our callers if you don't mind, but it's very interesting. And anyway, I hope they do more on that subject, on that show. We don't watch a terribly large amount of TV, but I always like to watch stuff about spirituality, metaphysics, that's interesting to me. All right, so we've got several callers. You're all getting a reading, so hang out. We will be with you. We take calls in the order they're received, and our first is 407. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Neil?
Hi. Who's this?
This is Michelle, and my birthday is 10-17-74.
Oh, Michelle. Michelle, yes. Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry? 3083. I didn't recognize your phone number. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
No, it's okay.
Okay, so what's your question today?
My question today has to do with me teaching. I teach mostly individuals now, and I kind of want to move towards groups, workshops, either online or in person. I'm kind of really interested in doing in person now. But in general, I know I have a lot of good ideas, and I know that all the ideas that I have are needed. I'm just kind of surprised that what I'm doing isn't working. I'm not getting the people, and I don't know how or why that's happening. And if you could just give me some advice on getting this moving to get forward, forward.
What do you teach? Can you remind us, please?
I teach English as a second language.
You teach, okay, English as a second language. So you're doing that, like, privately?
Yes.
Okay. Neil?
And you want to teach it more in a group atmosphere. Well, you know, ideas come up like seminars or advertising yourself in a group experience to where you can develop a program that's interactive so that the participants in the group can work with one another. And you've devised some kind of syllabus or program that starts to outline what you're going to do and exactly what the cost will be and what, maybe what hotel room or convention hall or whatever it is, the assembly room that you've rented for this purpose. And you have to kind of go out and make yourself known. Now, that's one thing. I don't know if you've done that, but, of course, the process of doing that would be tactful and probably effective. The other part is that you've got to understand that you are working as a tribal leader, not an individual leader. So you have to incorporate the word tribal leader into your meditation. I'm a tribal leader. I work in terms of past life tribal members, people who have come in who on some esoteric or maybe spiritual or mystical or past life level know me and say they will gravitate towards me. So that element, you have to raise your consciousness a little bit, Michelle, instead of just saying, gee, what am I doing wrong? That's not the question. The question is, what am I doing right? So you have to right the wrong by the way you phrase your brain and the way you look at the higher grasp of existence, which means that you have a fuller consciousness that you are a leader on a tribal level. And you have defined yourself as a leader of language. So those things I think you have to sort of start to condition yourself towards. It sounds like your questions to me present to me the idea that there's a vagueness in your consciousness that has to be reached. Now, that may mean that the universe, and I use this term crudely, the universe, that they're waiting for you to reach a higher level of awareness so that you can be prepared to talk to groups and be that kind of dynamic innovator to where you can hold a group's experience and learn how to engage the group in an interactive way, instead of just a one-on-one way. So you've got to start thinking this way because it means that there's a closet in your brain that's blocked in terms of how you view yourself as a human being on this planet. And you've got to start looking into the group experience, You've got to study groups a little bit and the phenomena of group analysis. But all of this is very, very reachable. And these are just brief suggestions for you on the air today.
Okay, Michelle. Well, insightful, Neil. Thank you.
Okay, can I just ask one thing? When do you think I can get this rolling? Like, do you have any kind of...
Your questions are very naive. When do I think you can get it rolling? Your question presents to me, Michelle, that you're not grasping the journey. You're just thinking, okay, I'll do that, but when will it happen? It will happen the moment you're enlightened. You see, you're thinking on a line that's not going to work. You're forever going to be chasing your dream. If I said to you, okay, it's going to happen February 2nd, that would be negating the growth you're supposed to take. It can happen in 3 weeks, Michelle, and it can happen in 3 months. what you got to do is go back, listen to this show, and listen to what I said, because that's going to help you reach as soon as possible this placement. This is not in alignment with your birth date. You're 40 years old. You're 10 years past your karma of 30. This can happen now, and it should.
Okay.
So you got to look at it that way.
And we've got to move on, Michelle. I'm sorry,
okay.
But definitely
no,
listen
good.
To the archives, and thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
562-596-7818 is Neil's number. Yeah, it's not the always
King,
about that linear journey.
No. You know, what's great about, what I find fantastic about doing readings for people and in my own life is that it can be instantaneous. In the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
This, we don't have to always say we have to wait 4 or 5 years or 4 or 5 months. It's very reachable now. If you really get your head in gear and think about existence, it can be very, very fast, what you ask for.
Area code 404, good morning.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon. I was
calling
in reference to romance. Just wanted to know, what did you see for me in my birthday?
What's your name?
December 9th. I'm sorry, it's T. And my birthday is December 9th,
1988. T, is it T-E-E?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And where are you calling from?
Georgia.
Okay. 12, 22, 28, 10, 1. You know, the southerners. Yes, ma'am, she said.
12, 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I
get
do
38.
38. I added wrong. I missed that 10. Anyway, I was going to say the southerners are always so polite. She called me ma'am.
Yeah.
They do. They're really, you know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. They're trained different than we are here in California.
Yeah.
Okay, T. Neil?
Well, you're 26 years old, and your master number, T, is 38112. Now, right there, we've got conflict in relationship. So, you know, 38112, 29112 in numerology, usually 20 equals 2, they usually have conflict in relationship, and there's usually some kind of dark quality about relationships. And I mean that dark, in terms of a symbolism, something that's kind of off the edge of purity. There's something usually dark. Sometimes it's divorce, anger management, alcoholism, or just this kind of deviated sense of what love should be, and it's never quite reachable. So those numbers come in already with that implanted. Now, you have a 9 in your fire number, meaning your day. You have a 2 in your month. And you have 2 8s in your year. And when we calculate this mathematically, we're looking at an element whereby your zone of being of getting into a relationship at 26, I'm looking more that you may, well, here's the worst note, 28 years old, you find somebody. That's the longer-term program, T. The
mm-hmm.
shorter term, 26, you've just turned 26, that's an 8. Well, what you'd have to do, here's what I'm getting with you, T. I don't know yet what it means, because I could be going back into a past life that you may not be connecting to immediately yet. But when I try to find your next relationship, I'm suddenly thrown, now be careful with how you interpret this. I'm suddenly thrown into a church choir. I'm like at a just church choir, and I'm seeing all these people singing, and somewhere in there I see this guy or this person that you're going to be connected to. Now, I could be going back into a past life. I could be still in this immediate lifetime. But there's something about that. Were there any members in your family that had any choir experience?
No, but that's not the first time I heard something like that.
That's not the first time you heard something like that. So probably we're in the element of past life. I'm going back to a past life. And so there's somebody awaiting to meet you, T, from that past life connection. Now, the question is, how do we part the curtain so that they can make an entry on the stage? That has a little bit to do with who has an eating disorder around you?
I'm not sure. People think I have an eating disorder, but
Do you say, T, that people have said that about you?
Yes.
Okay. Then I don't know you. I don't see you. Nothing. So I'm picking up this element. Now, in my world of being a psychic, I would take that as a validated clue as to how to hunt down this guy that's coming in, this person that's coming in. So I would take that phenomena right there, that people say you have an eating disorder, whether you agree with them or not, and I would use that, and I would attach it to this choir, and I would start to knit, if you will, a sweater. I would start to knit a fabric whereby I started to see a pattern, because there seems to be some kind of pattern element. Anybody in your family ever involved in the law, whether they were employed in the law or were incarcerated?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, then, T, I'm starting to map out your answer, but I don't have time on the air today to finish it. That would take more time. But I'm starting to feel out the answer to your question, and that's a good sign. That's a validation that somebody's coming in soon.
Okay.
We just don't know when or where.
Not at this point. She's asking when or where, but you know the confines of the radio show, T, don't allow sometimes for as deep of an investigation as we'd like, and we've got so many other callers waiting. But those validations are definitely clues for you. So you're always welcome to call the show again. We're on Monday and Wednesdays normally, and you can also call Neil directly. So.
Yeah, you know, okay. Clues are very important.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
At least for me, when I get a psychic hit, it's very important as to me getting closer to the answer. But the radio show is just, we got so many callers, we just don't have time.
Yeah, we did lose someone. T, hang out. If we have time for you, we'll bring you back and give you a more specific answer on a time frame. All right. So we've got 27 minutes left. Now it's only 3 callers because we lost one of them.
Hello.
786. Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, this is Eduardo from Miami. Thank you for taking my call.
Eduardo?
Guys. Eduardo.
Yeah. Okay. Hi.
Hi. Hello. I just wanted to see if maybe you can get a message for me for 2015.
Okay. What's your birthday?
06/29/72. I'm a 9.
Don't add that 0. Don't add that 0, Eduardo, because what happens is 0 is an energy. I mean, there's a duality with 0, so there's positive and negative aspects to every number. But really, 0, there's an element of loss, so you don't want to add a 0 where there's not. 6/26, you said 72?
No, 6/29/1972.
Sorry, I'm too busy talking. 8/17/27, 36/9. Yeah. Well, we derive a karmic number as well, so not only the master number is important, that karmic number of 36 is
42.
Important, too.
So, Eduardo, at 36, did you go through a change? Did you have any kind of change in your behavior, your education, your job, your life at the age of 36?
Yes. I think I moved back to Miami, kind of quit the corporate career. And I said I had it. I'm gonna be business on my own. And I think yes.
Okay, perfect. You see, that's part of your journey. I'm getting some real estate issues around you now. Have you ever owned your own home? First of all.
No, but we are getting a new home early next year. We've had some issues with our house, and I do have some issues with some land in Ecuador.
Okay, so you're getting a home next year,
yes.
And So that's 2015, and you asked me how 2015 looks, and
yes.
I'm telling you that I don't even know you, and I'm telling you that I'm seeing a new home.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm home. So you're
that's
gonna
awesome.
So there's one plus for you, Eduardo.
That's great.
The land in, what'd
Ecuador.
You say? The land in Ecuador?
Yeah.
The land in Ecuador, there's a, you know what I'm getting? It's weird. Because maybe the land in Ecuador is connected to something in a past life, dream reality, and I'm getting an uncle. Now, do you have any favoritism or disfavoritism towards any uncle in your life?
Any uncle in my life? Yes, I actually do. I don't have too much contact with him, but I mean, not any special relationship, you know.
Okay. Well, where does this uncle live?
He lives in the States, actually.
He lives in the States. Well, there's something that I would be bold enough to tie in. You may be thinking, my uncle has nothing to do with the land in Ecuador. So, Neil, I don't know what you're talking about. But in my world, Eduardo, there's a different symbol going on. So there's something about the land in Ecuador that has something to do with tribal family connection. Now, that land, is there any family ties to it?
Well, you know, it's owned by my brothers and I.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that until now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I felt it.
Yeah.
So here we've got two things. I see a home, and you're getting one, real estate, coming in 2015. And the issue, the dispute with your brothers and the land in Ecuador is going to advance towards a conclusion. I do see someone's spouse, someone's wife, being very sick and perhaps falling ill very gravely. So I do see that coming up in the year 2015, where there's not your wife, if you have one, but I see another wife, maybe it's one of your brothers.
Okay,
but,
yeah, my brother just recently got married. So,
brothers. Well, I see a wife becoming very sick, gravely ill.
Okay.
So that might be one of the less, you know, heartening notes of 2015. And I'll pray that she survives this element. But for just the purpose of this brief radio reading, I see you moving into a new home next year. It's going to be a blessing. And I see the land in Ecuador perhaps coming closer to a resolution, and so good things happening for you. You're 42 years old. You're going to be making a major change now. Remember, at 36, you moved. At 45, you're going to be making another major change. So that's only about 2.5 years away, so be prepared for that. It's going to be a good change. And I do see it's weird because I do see some small children around you that will continue to work out a higher element of blessing as time moves forward. But I do see two small children around you.
Cool. That's what we're waiting for.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's coming in.
Awesome.
Right. Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Neil. Thank you so much. A great message. Have a wonderful holidays and a great new year.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number, and you can join us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Blog Talk Radio, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we've got 20 minutes left. Three callers.
20 for 3. 10.
3 for 20, I think
three,
it is.
3 for 20. That's about 7 minutes apiece. 6 minutes.
Apiece. 6 minutes, because we're going to need to close the show, so... Okay. 757. Hello.
Hey, it's me here.
Huh?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Who is this?
It's Kier.
Oh, hey, Kier.
Mhm. How you guys doing?
Good. Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm well. Yeah. I'm okay.
That's good. And what?
Good.
Go ahead. Can we get your birth date?
Yeah, it's 12/19/92.
Right. Are you sick?
No, I'm just a little congested.
Yeah, you sound like totally normal here. 12/19/92. We're both looking at each other like, just look at his voice. 4/13/3, I think.
Mm-hmm.
34/7.
Yeah, he's a 34/7. What's going on?
I just want to ask, because the trusted spirit already knows my situation. So I'm just going to ask, you know, do you have anything to tell me, like any messages for me?
Here is very spiritual. I'm trying to refresh Neil's memory. And you were kind of in a situation last time we spoke where you were trouble getting work, right? You were out of work. Has that changed?
Yep, I have two jobs now. But we're in a situation, we might be getting evicted, and then it comes into my mom, like, you know, helping us out, but then I don't want to stress my mom out. I don't want to put that stress on her where she feels like she has so much weight on her, and I don't want that to get further taken with her. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd love to see you get out of this eviction thing. You know, I asked the former caller T about law enforcement. Here, did you ever know anyone that worked in law enforcement yourself?
Not that I know of. That's not on my mind right now. I don't know. Not that I know of. I can't get anyone to pop in my head.
Okay, that's fine. And have you had any encounters with the law, like a traffic incident or a speeding ticket or anything?
I did when I was 15. I actually got into a situation with a cop when I was 15. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to jump back there and just feel the energy and then come back to the present moment, because I'm trying to release you. You seem to be having some problems. The main thing you brought up today on the radio was being evicted, and I don't want to see you be evicted. So I'm trying to figure out how to work this. I'm seeing four people around you. Who are the four main acquaintances or people that are in your general area? Are there four people?
As far as like that I deal with on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, maybe that or maybe family members. How many members in your family?
I would say there's my two sisters, my mom, and my brother.
Oh, so there's four.
Yeah, and, well, I would include my brother's girlfriend, too, because she lives with us, too, so yeah.
I got it. But in your family, your immediate family, there's four. There's two sisters, your mom, and your brother. So those are the four people that I'm seeing, not to minimize your brother's wife, but...
I live with my brother, but I don't live with my mom, but I'm always seeing them, so yeah.
Okay, so that's good. That's good, Kier, because that's helping me maybe ask a guide or an angel around us to help you with this dilemma you're in, because I'd rather spend a few minutes on the air helping you get through this eviction without having to be evicted, because I'm seeing perhaps...
Yes.
Is there anybody with the letter F? F, as in Frank.
Say that again.
Frank. Who's that?
Well, you said the letter F. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's a girl. It's my manager, Felicia.
Oh, Felicia.
Felicia. Okay, that's
Another
okay.
Frank,
but the
yeah,
letter
yeah,
F.
That's right.
Okay, so what I've done here is I've worked...
I'm sorry, did you say F or S?
F.
F is in Felicia.
Okay, yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So you validated Felicia, and I'm going to tell you that I've got an angel connection helping you out today on the radio that let's just... go with that right now, that you're going to have some help.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to totally rely on your mother and putting stress on her, but I've found an angel may be willing to help you, and we'll just see how it goes from here.
Okay.
Okay, Keir, keep us posted, and I hope your congestion gets better.
Yeah, thank you. I will definitely keep you guys posted.
Okay, appreciate it, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. I cut them off early. I always do that, but I'm always moving quickly on the switchboard here. But
well, it's good. We only have a few minutes. You're doing your...
I'm doing my best. Okay, so we've got 305 and then 818. Those are our last two callers, so about 6 minutes apiece now. And this is Deanna from Florida.
Hi.
39.
Yeah.
Hi.
In sunny Miami.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's sunny here too, actually. It's been raining, but we've got some sun. 11:08:59.
Got a comment. You were talking in the beginning, not the very beginning, about 10 after the hour, about, Neil, you said free will. And I think that that's what nowadays is called co-creation, co-creating.
Okay, you want to elaborate?
Yes, because you said we have free will, we have to work within certain parameters, but we give our own contribution. So that free will, nowadays in new speak, would be called we have co-creation or co-creating power.
Yeah, co-creation, that's right. Hyphenated, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Just a comment. Everything's great. I've been working. Need to get the money because that way it's, you know, it's still lacking a little bit. I'm worried about two things, and I know that's too long for the show. And that one is home, whether I'll be moving out, hopefully not sooner than February, first week in February, or... the other question is my cousin, Tom.
Okay, so we can do one, I think.
Yeah. Whatever you
about
feel.
About 4 minutes, so it's going to be tight. But do you have a preference, Deanna, before we go forward on what you want answered?
I was putting it out so Neil would pick whatever he feels.
Okay.
Well, moving out, You want to move, but not before February. And February is significant because we're looking at approximately 3 months after your birth date in November, December, January, February. Now we're looking at between 3 to 4 months thereafter, and you are 65 years old. So that 65, Deanna, is in numerology, we're going to put those two numbers together. We get an 11. That's the month you're born. And I'm going with an element that I think around the second week in March is what I'm getting. There, we may be able to actualize the move that you're looking for that wouldn't occur at, hopefully before then, but maybe in the second week of March is what I'm getting on. Art. Is there anybody in March, March dates that are important to you? Anybody born in the month of March around you? I don't recall.
My grandmother.
Oh, okay. So, and she's crossed over?
Oh, yeah. Back
and
in
was
the 60s.
Was she at all, did she ascribe to any kind of... metaphysical or mysticism or spiritual matters in her life?
Yes, she did, and she was very pious and she had great faith, great faith.
Oh. Okay, well then, Deanna, your grandmother, born in March, is visiting us today on the radio, and she's giving an apparent message that she's going to be... She's heard your questions, and her soul, for as much energy as she can muster, is going to be guiding you and working with you. Even upon my words to you today, she's going to be helping you, and that will probably include your cousin Tom and assisting in that matter. So you have a kind of soul intervention from the other side in the profile of your grandmother that's going to be helping you is what I'm connecting to, because I heard her shout out the month March.
She's getting a 2-for-1. That's good.
Yeah, you're getting a
many
2-for-1.
Thanks.
I'm
many
getting
thanks.
I'm getting some good vibes about that, Deanna. So you might want to talk to her before you go to bed, just as though she were beside you, and converse with her. She'll receive the energy of your words, and she may be able to take that energy and work with it. So your words to her will be converted into energy. That's her world. And she'll take that energy and use it to help you.
She blessed the food and any drink that she had. So that's how spiritual she works.
Well, she's a very wise soul, and she's here to help you return some of her blessings back to you.
Thank you. Bless you both.
Bless you, Deanna. And it's so nice to hear from you. I'm glad you're getting more work. We're really happy.
Yeah,
about that.
I hope next week I got some more after Christmas. But bless you. I want to keep on listening and have
sure.
a wonderful week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got one more caller, Neil. It's really odd because there it goes. For some reason, my trackpad is acting a little funny.
Good morning.
Hey. Hi.
Good morning. Blessings. My name is Dani Marie. I'm calling from Woodland Hills, California, and my birth date is August 23rd, 1974.
Okay. And have we spoken with you before?
I don't think so. I think this is my first time calling into this show to actually speak.
Well, good. Nice to talk to you. How do you spell your name?
D-A-N-I space M-A-R-I-E, Dani Marie.
That's what I have. Awesome. Okay, 10, 12, 13, 23, and 34, 7. I think we've spoken with her before, one time. I'm remembering you. I feel like...
Yay.
But I remember a Woodland Hills person that was a 34,
7. Oh, Woodland Hills.
Yeah. Okay, what's your question?
Yes, I would like to know, please, what Neil sees for me with regards to my business and personal life moving forward for 2015?
Okay.
Well, first of all, Dani Marie?
Dani Marie. Yeah.
First of all, I'm seeing, whether he's there already or not, I'm seeing a man around you and a romance.
Okay.
Okay, you sound a little bit reluctant. Does that make any sense yet?
Well, I'm currently married, but the marriage is about to end. And I do have a few friends that are new, but it hasn't gone to a romantic level as of yet.
Oh,
uh-huh.
You're okay. You're
yeah,
going
to... Yeah, that's what I was asking personal.
Donnie, what'd you say?
I didn't catch it because it cut off.
What'd you say?
That's why I was asking about the personal part because of the situation that I'm currently in. I'm only still married because I'm not financially independent yet, and so I created my own business to start becoming financially independent.
Yeah, well, guess what? good news for you coming.
Yay!
You know, a realist, and I'm a realist. I mean, I'm an optimist, but I'm a realist.
Yeah.
I'm a realistic optimist, and I just say what I feel. You know, that's my job. But good news for you. You're going to be entering a new romance in 2015, and you're going to establish beyond the introduction of your business. You're going to even see it growing in the first year. You're going to be able to measure growth. Now, what's going on with about 15 years? If we go back 15 years when you were about 25, what was going on then?
Let me see. In a tumultuous relationship with the man that I'm currently married to, we remarried, very tumultuous relationship. I think I maybe had three children at that time. Let's see, what year was that? 15 years, 99. I think I had 3 children at that time. I was working. I was really building my career as an actress and a stand-in at that time, really close to the height of my career, and my husband despised that.
Yeah. Well, we're getting into a element of rebirth, so we're moving past that zone into an element of really nice new growth for you. Now, your master number is 34 equals 7, so you had a change, a dramatic change at the age of 34. So that was about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, can you validate that?
Yes. I had tumultuous. I had brain tumor at 29, So recovering from that, 34. Let's see here. I became. That's the year I believe I became sober. So because I've got about 6.5 years sobriety now. A major change in my life, and that's also about the time I became permanently disabled.
Well, you know,
you're passed away.
I mean, you've gone through it. You have an 11 in your, you have an 8-2-3, an 8, the 8 and the 3 of the 11. So, and then the 2's kind of stuck between there. That's just tumultuous relationships and all kinds of problems. It's a karmic situation. But now that you've gone through your karmic numbers at 34, your master number 7, so when you hit 41 this August, whole rebirth, whole different change.
Goodness, wonderful.
Yeah, it's good news. At 41 to 42, Donnie Marie, you it sounds like the Osmond brothers. You're going to be moving forward from 41, the age of 41 to 42, a good year, very good year. There's going to be some writing involved, so you'll be doing some writing, and that will be part of the process. But very good in terms of relationship and getting past all this karma, because you're done with that part. And then moving forward into a brighter energy. What's your career based upon?
My business, I create handcrafted jewelry and I infuse it with healing energy. I'm a Reiki master. And so I founded this based on trying to heal myself of these ailments that I acquired from medications given to me from my brain tumor. And it was just a hobby at first, but people kept asking me, do I sell it, and I should sell it, and it's really awesome. And so I went ahead and started making it a business, and it's already taking off pretty well now. I've got it in a couple of stores, and I've got 2 websites, so I'm really, really happy about it. It's just that my husband is really putting off negative energy with it.
Well,
because
boy,
it's just...
You're going to get rid of him, so that will be done, and you're going to be moving into a higher element, and those websites will be where the writing content takes place.
That makes sense.
Okay.
We're out of time, but we thank you for your call, and wish you the best. And happy holidays.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it, and happy holidays to you all. Blessings and namaste.
And do you want to plug your website?
Yes. It's intuitions by danymarie.artfire.com. intuitionsbydanimarie.artfire.com. Intuitions by danymarie.artfire.com. The name of the business is Loving Kindness Jewelry.
Okay, perfect. I've got it, actually. I pulled it up on my computer, so we can look at it after the show, Neil. Thank you so much for your call, and best wishes.
Thank you. Blessings and namaste. And my story is on there in the bio section. It's really a triumphant story.
Well,
Exactly. Yeah. And we are back on the air on Wednesday. On Monday at 10 a.m. All right, Neil, that's our show for today. Thanks, everybody.